be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat. People really enjoy hearing a dramatic conversion story. They like to hear the experience of somebody, this would be a caricature maybe, somebody whose life was going down the drain, who was addicted to drugs and alcohol and indulged in all kinds of weird sexual behavior, and who finally fell into a life of crime and ended up in jail where he found Jesus and got saved. It's really inspiring to see someone like that stand up with a microphone, clean and happy, with a haircut and a shave and a nice suit on. And we know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing because here's that lost lamb that Jesus was talking about, home safe and sound. And here's that lost coin the woman in the parable was searching for so desperately, all shined up, spiffy and new. And there's rejoicing in heaven over the one who was lost but is now found. And actually, that kind of transformation really happens. God rescues people from every kind of danger and trouble, including, and especially, I think, the trouble that we bring upon ourselves. I think everybody here could tell a story, or more than one, about our own foolishness or meanness or self-indulgence or helplessness, and how God, in his great mercy, rescued us out of it all. But when Jesus told these stories that we just read about the lost sheep and the lost coin, he wasn't only talking about the shiny, respectable convert at the end of the search. He was also talking about the search itself, with all the dirt and all the mess and all the unrespectability that goes along with the search. The problem that got this whole parable thing going this time was that Jesus had been once again getting altogether too friendly with those tax collectors and sinners. And sinners might mean anybody from anything from somebody who didn't wash their hands before dinner according to the Mosaic law, to a woman who made her living as a prostitute, to a man who collected taxes for the Romans and made a tidy profit overcharging his fellow Jews. Sinners basically was a wholesale term for the disreputable masses of people, unholy and unwashed and pretty much unacceptable in polite society. And all those sinful, unrespectable type people were coming to hear Jesus. And instead of preaching hellfire and damnation to them, as any respectable preacher ought to do, and straighten them out and get them on the right road, Jesus was doing something else. He was meeting them at the diner for a cup of coffee. He was going to their houses, their sinful, dirty houses, for potlucks sinners with their sinful, dirty friends. He touched them. He healed their hurts. He took their children in his arms. He was welcoming those sinners as if he were really glad to see them. Because he was. And meanwhile, the Pharisees and the scribes were watching all these goings on from a safe distance, very careful not to accidentally rub elbows or anything else with some low-life person so they would become unclean by association. These men really worked very hard to live their lives by the book. They were godly men, and they were watching Jesus closely, and they were grumbling among themselves. Do you see how this guy welcomes sinners with open arms, even eats with them? What kind of a holy man acts like that? And we know that grumbling, no matter how quiet it was, never went unnoticed by Jesus. And that was the case this time. And it was in response to that grumbling that Jesus told these stories about the lost lamb and the lost coin. I think a lot of times when we think of these two parables, we think of them being told to the people who were in trouble to give them hope, to reassure them that no matter how badly they are lost, God is going to seek them out and bring them back to safety. But actually, Jesus wasn't telling these stories to the crowds of sinners who had come to hear him. He was telling them to the grumbling Pharisees and scribes. It was to them he told his parables about lost lambs and missing coins. I don't know about you, but our household is very familiar with the whole losing things problem. Over the years, we have become very good at losing things. We've lost everything from the phone number that I wrote on a scrap of paper yesterday to essential documents like birth certificates and social security cards, quite recently, in fact. And so we are also very familiar with the searching process. You begin with the obvious places, the last place somebody remembers seeing the item, the drawer or the tin or the file cabinet or the closet shelf, all the places that that thing is supposed to be, but isn't. And eventually, since it's never where it's supposed to be, the search becomes more general and more extensive. And hopefully you leave no nook or cranny unsearched so that you actually find what you're looking for. And anybody arriving in our house at this stage of the search would be sure to observe one thing for sure, that we are in total chaos. Because nothing is messier in the middle of a search, a real thorough search when every last thing has been pulled open or turned inside out or unpacked or disassembled. But it's only by entering completely into that mess that we can be sure to finally arrive at the goal of finding that very important scrap of paper or that little piece of jewelry or that check or that birth certificate or whatever it was that we needed so much to find. And after the mess and after the finding, then comes the rejoicing. But when the Pharisees and the scribes looked at all those people swarming around Jesus, all they could see was the mess. All they saw were people whose lives were out of control, people who didn't live by the rules, people whose very presence and lifestyle were an offense to everything they'd been brought up to value and strive for. And I don't think it was that the Pharisees and the scribes were unusually heartless. I think probably all of us have felt the same in their position. You probably don't have to think very hard to remember feeling like that about someone, to see someone and think their life is just a hopeless mess. It wasn't even that they were wrong in looking at these people and seeing the mess. But the difference was that Jesus knew that the mess was part of the search. Jesus didn't open his arms to all these people because they happened to be in trouble and took pity on them because he was a nice guy. Jesus was so glad to see them, so welcoming, because he was searching for them. in the middle of this mess of their poverty and their disease and their fear and their human weaknesses, in the middle of their bad choices and their worst luck, he was searching high and low for each and every one of those people because they were precious to him. Like that lamb that was lost in the hills, like that coin that rolled away and went down a crack in the floor, Jesus would do anything and go anywhere to find them. He was willing to search high and low. He was willing to turn the rules and the traditions upside down. He was willing to offend sensibilities. He was willing to wade through any amount of mess to find them because he knew that after the finding, then comes the rejoicing. Usually we call these two parables that we read, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. But it might be better, it might be more true to call them the parable of the searching shepherd and the parable of the searching woman. Because what Jesus was telling the Pharisees and scribes, and what he's telling us, is that he is the one who searches for us in all the messiest of our messes. Human life is always messy. It's rarely, if ever, neat rules and tidy, logical procedures. Not in my experience, anyway. Life is messy from birth, which is a really messy process, to death, which is also messy, and everything in between. But if we remember, if we take to heart that in the mess of our lives, in the chaos of our bad choices, in our misfortunes, and our sorrows, and our fears, that Jesus is always there to welcome us with open arms, because it's in the very middle of our mess that we see he's searching for us. And it's in the middle of our mess that he finds us. And then there's the rejoicing. Jesus told these parables to the Pharisees and the scribes because they're not just about our personal reassurance, though they are greatly reassuring. They should be. No matter how lost we feel ourselves to be, these parables should remind us that the shepherd is not going to rest until he finds us and brings us home. But the first purpose of the stories that he told was to change the way those Pharisees and scribes saw their fellow human beings. His first purpose is to change the way we look at other people. When we look at a man or a woman or a child, do we only see the mess of their lives? Or do we see the search that makes sense of that mess? Are we able and willing to see what is precious in that person that makes all that mess and all that searching worthwhile? Because Jesus does, always. The shepherd that is searching tirelessly for us, for you and for me, is also searching tirelessly for our brother and our sister. And that mess is just part of the search. It always is. And to paraphrase the words of Jesus, there will be more joy in heaven over one messed up person who is found than over 99 good people who don't even know that they're lost. Amen. Amen.